Welcome back to I Want That Too, the show that where we do a deep dive in the world of Disney merch, sharing the stories behind some of your favorite collectibles. I'm entertainment writer Jim Hill, and I'm joined tonight by my fabulous co-host, Lauren Hersey, who's just back from a baseball game, right?
That is true. Whatever it takes to get you your merch news and information. And we are dropping today's episode on April 19th, which is just a few days shy of Earth Day, which is April 22nd, if you did not know that. And it's such an important day, don't you think, Jim?
Oh, no, absolutely. Earth Day is a great reminder of the importance of taking care of our planet, which Disney leads in heavily too. And speaking of which, on the second half of today's show, we're going to talk about a character who since 1944 has been reminding us all to be a bit more active when it comes to protecting our planet. And that character is Smokey the Bear.
Actually, Jim, that character's name is Smokey Bear. You need to drop that "the," Mr. Hill. And, you know, when my family and I were just down at Walt Disney World last month, there was all sorts of Smokey Bear merch on sale at the Settlement Trading Post at the Disney's Fort Wilderness. And I meant to ask you about that because Smokey is not a Disney character, right?
Well, that is true, but Smokey does have kind of an interesting tie to a Disney film from the early 1940s, which is Bambi. But like I said, we'll do a deep dive on that topic on the second half of today's show.
Okay, but before we do that, we have a news segment for this edition of I Want That Too.
That is true. And the news portion of the show is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Let's be honest, folks, planning a trip down to Disney or Universal can be pretty overwhelming, given that there's just so much to see and do around Orlando. But if you take advantage of the tools Touring Plans makes available to you, well, you'll then get insight into crowd patterns of the park and be able to skip the longest lines, which will then make it possible for you and your families to make the most of your visit to Central Florida. So before you book that flight, save some time and money by visiting our friends at TouringPlans.com. Okay, Lauren, so what's in the news merch-wise this week?
All right, well, given that we will be posting the show on April 19th, we are now just 2 short months out from the rumored opening of Tiana's Bayou Adventure. I mean, like, I'm so stoked. That is happening down at Magic Kingdom in Florida.
Yeah. Now, the scuttlebutt coming out of Central Florida right now has the rethemed Splash Mountain opening on Juneteenth, which is June 19th, right?
That's what I've been hearing as well. And given that just this past week, we learned about not one, not but two new shops that will be opening in Frontierland once Tiana's Bayou Adventure finally opens for business.
And those two shops are?
Well, we have the Critter Co-op and there is Tiana's Bayou General.
Okay, so and what do we know about these two shops?
Okay, so the Critter Co-op and Tiana's Bayou General will both feature merchandise that I'm assuming are themed around the new attraction, right? And they'll probably feature items inspired by the 2009 animated movie The Princess and the Frog. There's no shocker there. And though I don't know for sure what will be in the shops just yet, over the weekend we did just get a sneak peek of my personal favorite, some mini ears based around Tiana's Bayou Adventure. So they were sported by a WDW ambassador at the Cherry Blossom Festival in Washington just a few days ago. Did you hear that?
Yeah, actually, it was this past Saturday morning. Nancy was watching Good Morning America and called my attention to, I guess they had Tiana there as part of the Cherry Blossom Festival and a horse-drawn cart. So, and obviously, Washington, D.C. area is an important feeder market for Walt Disney World. So it may certainly make sense that they do promo up there. But and so I guess which of the two stores do you think will offer these ears?
Probably both, if I had to guess. And if you're looking for them, here's a quick pick, but they are dark blue. They have a puffy gold bow right in the center there with a water lily in the middle. I mean, that's very synonymous with the Princess and the Frog. And on one side, you have Lewis under some like bayou plants. And on the other side, it has the, it looked kind of like embroidered, like the Tiana Bayou Adventure logo. So super excited for those. So what's going on right now is with the Critter Co-op, that is going to be in the spot where the Briar Patch Shop used to be. If you're familiar, that's the one right when you walk up towards where Splash Mountain was. Now that one is fully rethemed on the outside. You have the new signage over the doorway, and there's some really cute theming, very detailed in the windows. And so what you're seeing is some of the new critters that I'm assuming are going to be a part of the ride experience. We're not seeing as much yet for Tiana's Bayou General, because that one is going to be replacing the gift shop at the ride exit. So, I mean, it's just a conveniently placed gift shop, obviously. And the building is, you know, painted and it's yellow and it has the name, but that's all we've seen so far. So excited to continue to see what's to come with those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and again, you know, what we're hearing, folks, is a Juneteenth opening with, again, June 19th of this year. But speaking of things that will be opening in and around Juneteenth, Lauren, we should probably mention Inside Out 2. That Pixar film just got showcased this past week out in Las Vegas at CinemaCon. And exhibitors there got to see the first 35 minutes of this Inside Out sequel inside the Colosseum at Caesar's Palace, and were reportedly blown away by the footage they saw from this Kelsey Mann movie.
Okay, so Inside Out 2, that arrives in theaters, what, like Friday, June 14th? That is just 5 days before Juneteenth, right?
Yep. And forgive me for asking, but have you seen any Inside Out specific merch yet?
Yeah. So if you go to the Disney store or Shop Disney, the answer is no, for the moment anyway. Mind you, there are 15 or so items for sale there, mostly T-shirts that then key off of the original Inside Out movie.
Which, just to remind folks, that was released at theaters nearly 9 years ago now, back in June of 2015.
But the funny thing is, if you plug in Inside Out 2 in the search term on the Disney store, what you then get is an image of sadness sprawled out on the floor, as if to say sadness is depressed because there are still no Inside Out 2 related merch items for sale. Oh, she is so sad. I'm like, give her some merch.
Yeah, I love that character. But on the other hand, supposedly if you go over to Amazon, it's a very different story, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, Amazon, they have everything. So if you want a T-shirt it has joy and sadness and anxiety, the new anxiety character. Oh, my God, I can't wait for in the anxiety character. But they do have them available for purchase for $22.99. Likewise, there's a similar T-shirt with anxiety front and center. I mean, like, it's our spirit emotion with all sorts of concerns swirling around this Inside Out 2 character while she says, I'm fine. And we all know we say, I'm fine, you're not fine. But that is also available for purchase for $22.99.
Got it. And I've also heard that there's a bunch of Inside Out 2 related books about to go on sale at that site as well.
That is true. There's a little golden book version of Inside Out, which is available for purchase on May 28th, whereas the Go to Sleep Anxiety picture book, which has the characters from Inside Out 2 appearing in the story that's unrelated to this yet-to-be-released Pixar sequel, that goes on sale May 7th. Whereas the original art of Pixar, Disney Inside Out 2, that's from Chronicle Books, and that goes on sale between those two titles on May 14th.
I got to tell you, Lauren, I've got a couple of dozen of these art of books that Chronicle has published over the past 20 years, and they always do such a good job when it comes to developing or documenting the development of the overall look of an animated feature.
Yeah, you'll have to show those off at some point. I've heard you have lots of books. But while we're talking about the characters that Pixar created, and since we're just a few days out from Earth Day, I guess we need to take a moment to talk about the character who really dedicated himself to cleaning up our planet. And that would be, oh my gosh, he's so cute, little Wall-E.
Yeah, and again, I've been a huge fan of that Andrew Stanton film. First released to theaters back in June of 2008. And I got a couple of toys here at the house that hit store shelves back when the Pixar production initially debuted. Has there been much new merch since?
You know, there's always a handful of Wall-E related merch items, especially if you go to the parks. So, you know, maybe a half a dozen, you get your plushies, you get a couple shirts, but nothing yet related to Earth Day this year. The only thing I could find related to Earth Day this year was a very basic, like, think green shirt with like the Disney pals and some plants, like potted plants, for $29.99 on Shop Disney.
Okay, well, I guess that's a fashionable way to let your friends and family know that you're a Disney fan and you care about the environment. But you know who doesn't wear a shirt but does everything he can to protect the planet? That's Smokey the Bear.
Seriously, Jim, know the bear, just Smokey Bear.
All right, I'm sorry, but I'm the guy who still calls Disney Hollywood Studios MGM. I am just not good at learning new names, which is why I should probably apologize in advance now to all the Disneyland Paris fans who are about to get frustrated with me, because when I talk up that resort's recently renamed Disney Adventure World, I'm probably just going to call it by its old name, the Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris.
Yeah, I mean, like, I see that all the time. Everybody references. So you are not alone. So speaking of the Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris or their new adventure park, and this is a question for our friends in Europe who frequent Disneyland Paris, but is there any merch yet for Disney Adventure World? And if so, where did you find it at the resort? Tell us.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is they had the announcement just this past week on April 12th, which, of course, is the 32nd opening or anniversary of the opening of the park. And what they seemed to be saying at that time was that the new name would debut with the World of Frozen, which I guess is going to open in 2025 sometime. But you got to assume there'll be merch out ahead of that.
Right, I'm sure.
So, all right. Well, if anybody could let us know, you know, when the merch shows up, we will, of course, share that information on an upcoming episode of I Want That Too. But now, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to tell you all about the role that Walt Disney played in the creation of Smokey the Bear.
Jim, come on, just Smokey Bear.
Okay, all right, whatever. But first, this.
And we're back. At the top of today's show, I mentioned that on our most recent trip to Walt Disney World, my family and I made a stop at the Fort Wilderness. It's Disney's Fort Wilderness. And the gift shop that we found all the Smokey Bear merch at was called the Settlement Trading Post. But that's not the only place that you can find the Smokey Bear merch. There's also another, it is the, I had to write it down because I wanted to get it right. It was the Meadow Trading Post. And then there was also the Mercantile over at the Wilderness Lodge. And you can also find Smokey Bear merch over in Disney's California Adventure. So it's not just at Fort Wilderness. But it did surprise me so much to see this Smokey Bear-related merch for sale there because, I mean, as far as I know, Smokey Bear is not an official Disney character. And yet, here was all this merch featuring Smokey's likeness up for sale at Fort Wilderness. I was confused, and I was hoping that you could clear up this mystery for me.
Well, okay, I will try, because there is kind of an interesting tie between the U.S. forest fire prevention efforts and the Walt Disney Company, and it all dates back to the early 1940s.
Cool. If I know you, this is the start of a fairly lengthy story, so buckle up, let me settle in here, get comfy, and take it away.
All right. Well, okay, picture this. It's the early, early days of World War II. And our country's getting solidly behind the U.S. war efforts with things like scrap metal drives and collecting old rubber tires. But government officials have identified another key source that really needs protecting during World War II, and that's America's forests.
Wait a minute. Are you saying America's forests played a key part in winning the war? I'm afraid, like, I'm not following. Sorry.
Okay. This is really more about making sure that this raw material, and in this case, we're talking wood and wood pulp, which, by the way, was an essential ingredient when it came to the creation, of course, of paper, but also early plastics, that it would be readily available to keep the U.S. war machine churning.
Okay, well, it's starting to make a little bit of sense. That makes sense.
Okay. All right. And the reason that the United States was super concerned about our forests in the early days of World War II was, well, 1940, the year before the U.S. got involved in the war. That was a truly terrifying time when it came to forest fires.
How so?
Okay. In a normal year, due to natural things like lightning strikes, as well as human carelessness, America as a nation, again, on average, would experience 100 forest fires annually, where in 1940, the country had a record 360 forest fires.
Oh my gosh. Like that is like, that's like what, three times as much?
Yeah, that's it exactly, and which is why in 1942, which is just a few months after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and sort of dragged us into the war, the U.S. Forest Service rolled out its first ever forest fire prevention program, which, leaning into that era's whole, we're all in this together, so let's do what we can to help America win the war aesthetic, featured this catchphrase, forest defense is national defense.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, you know?
You're not wrong, Lauren. Okay. That said, the U.S. Forest Service did create a few very lovely posters for this campaign. They show men out in the forest wielding shovels to dig a ditch, which is going to serve as a fire break and then slow the raging forest fire, which, by the way, is right behind these guys in the poster.
So I'm guessing that the folks at the U.S. Forest Service weren't exactly thrilled with how their initial forest fire prevention program was perceived by the public.
Again, you're not wrong. Which is why, for phase two of this project, they opted to take a more kid-friendly approach, figuring that if they got America's children enthusiastic about the idea of keeping our country's forests safe, their parents would then follow suit.
Oh, the old get 'em young approach.
Yeah, well, it worked for Disney for decades, which is, so why shouldn't Uncle Sam borrow Mickey Mouse's playbook? And speaking of Disney, in the early 1940s, the studio had made an animated feature that was set out in the forest that, forgive me for making a kind of insensitive joke here, it didn't exactly set the world on fire.
Ah, Jim, you went there. But I'm guessing you're talking about Bambi.
I am. You are correct. Which was released to theaters in August of 1942 with this as the movie's advertising catchphrase. It's Bambi, a great love story.
A great love story? Like, seriously, you've got to be kidding me. Is that real?
To give you some context, around this time, the war really wasn't going all that well for the Allies. This is the summer of 42. And the thinking at Disney, at this time anyway, was America probably isn't in the mood right now to see a movie, you know, with deer frolicking in the forest. So let's see if we can sell the movie going public on the idea that Bambi is actually a romance.
All right. Well, if I was a betting woman, I would say that that promotional campaign probably didn't work.
Oh, God. Yeah. Bambi cost Disney over $800,000 to make, which, by the way, is significantly cheaper than what it cost the studio to make Pinocchio and Fantasia just 2 years early. That's $2.8 million and $2.2 million, respectively. But long story short, Bambi underperformed at the domestic box office. It only sold $1.2 million worth of tickets in North America.
Ugh, so not really enough to turn a profit, at least on the animated feature's initial theatrical release.
Exactly. All right. And by the way, Disney's PR team wasn't wrong when it came to wartime audiences being in the mood to see a big screen romance. Just 6 months after Bambi opened in theaters, Casablanca came on the scene in January of 1943, and moviegoers lined up around the block to see Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman make goo-goo eyes at each other.
Okay, so we started off today's feature, however, talking about Smokey Bear. How do we get to Humphrey Bogart?
Okay, my mistake. All right, let's see if we can't get things back on track here. Okay, so Disney makes a less than successful animated feature, Bambi, and the U.S. Forest Service has a less than successful promotional campaign for its just-launched Forest Fire Prevention Program.
All right, so let me take a guess here. These two cookie-crazy kids somehow get together.
That's it. Okay. At some point in 1943, Disney and the U.S. Forest Service team up and create a new poster to help promote America's Forest Fire Prevention Program. And this poster actually features the title character of Bambi, not to mention his two friends, Thumper the Rabbit and Flower the Skunk.
Okay, but here's the thing I don't understand. The versions of these Bambi characters that are featured on the poster, they're adult versions of Bambi, Thumper, and Flower, which is why when I initially looked at this poster for the U.S. Forest Service, I didn't even recognize these characters as Disney.
Yeah, and yet, if you look at the right middle portion of the poster, right next to Bambi's leg, you will see a familiar three-word phrase, which is Walt Disney Productions.
All right, so help me out here. So how did we get from Bambi now promoting the U.S.'s Forest Fire Prevention Program to Smokey Bear?
That simple. Walt only gave the U.S. Forest Service the rights to use the Bambi characters in their promotional campaign for America's Forest Fire Prevention Program for a single year. So by the time 1944 rolls around, the U.S. Forest Service now has to come up with a different look for its promotional campaign.
Okay. This part of the story I know. With the help of the Ad Council and the National Association of the State Foresters, the U.S. Forest Service comes up with its own character to help promote and prevent forest fires. And his name is none other than Smokey Bear. And the character Smokey Bear is designed to be an American black bear, not a brown bear or a grizzly. He weighs about 300 pounds, which may make it a little tough for Smokey to find a pair of blue jeans that would fit him properly. And he is rarely seen without his shovel and ranger hat. And of course, Smokey's hobby is putting out forest fires.
And did he always say only you can prevent forest fires?
Nope. Early on, what Smokey told kids was, care will prevent 9 out of 10 forest fires, sir.
Again, that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
Right, which is why just 3 years after the official debut in August of 1944, Smokey then began saying in the summer of 47, say it with me now, Jim.
Okay. Only you can prevent
forest fires. Why we didn't do a very good job there, but we gave it our best.
Okay, we did. Okay. So, all right. So, but again, Smokey Bear, not Smokey the Bear, which I have to tell you seems weird to me because when I was growing up back in the 1950s and 60s, this character definitely had a "the" in the middle of his name.
Yeah, and I'm kind of cheating as I'm giving you a little jab because one of our viewers actually wrote in because I was saying Smokey the Bear too. So I just learned. And the reason is because back in 1952, Steve Nelson and Jack Rollins wrote a song about Smokey that then became hugely popular. And Steve and Jack, in order to make the lyrics of this song scam better, well, they changed Smokey's name from Smokey Bear to Smokey the Bear. So you weren't totally wrong. We weren't totally wrong.
Well, and the interesting thing is I know this song. It's like, your friend, my friend, Smokey the Bear.
Beautiful. That was a beautiful rendition. Bravo. So back to the show. We started today's feature because there was so much Smokey Bear merch for sale at Fort Wilderness. When my family visited the resort during our most recent trip to Disney World. And can you explain to me now, like, why is the Smokey stuff showing up on shelves in Disney World?
Well, okay, look, if I'm being completely honest, when I go to Fort Wilderness or over to Wilderness Lodge and wander into the Mercantile, I'm not looking for Smokey the Bear merchandise. I'm looking for anything that has my absolute favorite Disney character on it.
Who is it?
Well, you actually shared a photo of him with me today, earlier on. You took a picture of the totem pole that's in the lobby of the Wilderness Lodge, the one that has, what is it, Mickey at the top, Donald, Goofy, and then at the bottom there's a bear, but not just any bear, Humphrey the Bear.
And I said, Jim, who in the world is this bear?
Well, and Humphrey is actually a really significant character for Disney Studios. He first appeared in a 1950 Goofy short called Hold That Pose. And then he appeared in 5 Donald Duck shorts in rapid succession and had such a big reaction, he wound up with his own series of animated shorts that got started in 1955. And sadly, they were just 2 shorts into a really Feral Humphrey series when Disney made the decision to get out of the animated theatrical shorts business. So again, I love this guy. He's typically paired with that pudgy park ranger character you see in Disney stuff, the Jay Audubon Woodlore. And his shorts, honestly, the Humphrey shorts are some of the funniest stuff that Disney Studio ever produced.
Well, listen, I spent a lot of time with you and I did not know this. Jim Hill is a huge Humphrey the Bear fan. Write that one down.
Not just a fan. Humphrey is my spirit animal. And if, to circle back to where today's feature started, there's actually a Disney-produced cartoon where Humphrey and Smokey Bear appear together.
No way.
Nope, absolutely. This short is called In the Bag. Disney released it theatrically back in July of 1956. I got to warn you in advance, folks, that There is a song that George Bruns wrote for the short that's an absolute earworm that once you hear it, you are never going to forget it. And it's first you stick a rag, put it in the bag, bump, bump. Then you bend your back, put it in the sack, bump, bump. That's the way it's done. It's a lot of fun, bump, bump. Cutting capers, putting papers in the bag.
Boom. Wow. Mic drop. You, sir, are a man of many talents, Jim Hill.
I try.
Okay, so you mentioned that Humphrey and Smokey appear together in the bag. Where exactly does that happen in this short?
Okay, it's at roughly the six-minute mark. Humphrey is trying to get rid of a pile of trash by setting fire to it, and Smokey then shows up, shovel in hand, and then says his patented catchphrase, "One more time, we can do this in sync."
All right.
It's like, oh, only here we go.
You can
prevent forest fires.
We're terrible. Okay, so wait a minute. I think that I've actually seen this character at the Wilderness Lodge, and is Humphrey the Bear? Well, we talked about what Humphrey is the bear.
Yeah,
he's the main man bear, the foundation of the totem pole.
The foundational bear. There we go. And also worth noting that this time of year, Disney typically promotes In the Bag because, of course, Humphrey, this is the Humphrey the Bear short that's all about picking up litter. And as we mentioned at the top of today's show, April 22nd, obviously Earth Day. Interesting, though, this Humphrey the Bear short isn't available for viewing over on Disney Plus. Not that I could find anyway. But on the other hand, if you type in the bag on Google or over on YouTube, this Disney animated short comes up almost immediately. And speaking of animation,
we're never getting back to Smokey Bear merch at Fort Wilderness, are we?
Hang in there. I'm almost done with my bear related rant.
Continue.
Okay. Okay, were you aware of the Ballad of Smokey the Bear animated special? This is the one that Rankin Bass made after they produced Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for NBC back in 64?
Vaguely. This is stop motion, and that's since become a holiday classic, right?
Yeah. Well, again, that's Rudolph, but after Rudolph was such a ratings bonanza for NBC, they ordered a second stop-motion holiday special for Rankin Bass. Only this one they wanted to have air on Thanksgiving Day. That would have been November 24th, 1966.
I don't think I've seen this.
There's probably a good reason for that, Lauren. Rankin Bass's The Ballad of Smokey the Bear is kind of on the dark side. It's narrated by screen legend James Cagney, but again, it's kind of dark and weird. It sort of tells the story of the real Smokey Bear.
I know the story. Back in 1950, there was a real bear cub that got caught in a forest fire up in the Captain Mountains of New Mexico. This cub climbed up high into a tree to try and escape the blaze, but he still got really badly burned. Ugh. That cub was eventually rescued. His burns were treated, and he eventually wound up at the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. as some sort of living symbol of the U.S. Forest Service's forest fire prevention program.
And didn't the National Zoo actually name this cub Smokey Bear?
Indeed, that is true. And as a direct result, this cub got so much fan mail that the U.S. Postal System eventually gave him his own zip code. Yep, that is true. Smokey lived on for decades at the National Zoo, and I want to say that he didn't pass till sometime in like 1976, which is a good long life for a Smokey Bear.
Anyway, that's the story that the Ballad of Smokey the Bear tells. A bear cub gets caught at the top of a tree during the middle of a terrible forest fire. He barely survives the experience. And then Smokey, well, now he has to overcome this trauma. He has to learn to get past his fear of fire and then become the heroic figure, that savior of the forest that we all know today.
Listen, if he was still around today, he'd be wearing an anxiety shirt from Amazon. Is that up too? But to be honest, I mean, it kind of sounds like a real downer for a holiday special, right?
It was. This is why NBC, after airing the Ballad of Smokey the Bear just one more time for Thanksgiving 1967, it kind of decided it was done with this Rankin Bass holiday special, which is why it's rarely seen today.
Of course, these days, anything's findable and watchable.
That is true. Just today, I was looking at the Ballad of Smokey the Bear over on Daily Motion, and I gotta tell you, Lauren, it's just as dark and creepy and weird as I remember.
All right, I think I might skip that one. But a couple things before we close here. I've been hammering on Google too while we've been, you know, talking today, and I noticed there are actually a few only you can prevent. I can't even get it right. Only you can prevent forest fires posters out there that feature the characters from Disney's Bambi. Only these posters feature younger, cuter versions of Bambi characters, and that the ones that feature the U.S. Forest Service poster from 1943, the one that Walt gave them permission to use for just 1 year. What gives?
Okay, well, again, another fun little bend on this story. When Walt Disney Home Entertainment decided to release Bambi on VHS back in 1989 as part of their Classics collections, Disney struck a deal with the U.S. Forest Service as part of the promotion of this VHS that the Bambi characters could temporarily be used to help promote the forest fire prevention program.
Okay, so let me guess here. The folks at the U.S. Forest Service said to Disney, pretty, pretty please, can we use the younger, cuter versions of these Bambi characters? Because the last time around, we went with the adult versions, and nobody liked that poster.
Again, you are not wrong. But then, in 1997, when Walt Disney Home Entertainment decided to re-release Bambi on VHS, only now it was going to be part of the company's Masterpiece collection as opposed to the Classics collection. Well, they circled back on this very same idea, having the characters from Disney's Bambi appear in a national campaign for the U.S. Forest Service. So as it was promoting the forest prevention program, and it also made consumers aware that the VHS version of Bambi was back on store shelves for a limited time.
Interesting bend of the language in this ad from 1997, though. Protect our forest friends. Only you can prevent wildfires, not forest fires.
Yeah, the language that the U.S. Forest Service used to describe these blazes changed over time. Forest fires became wildfires, and to be honest, Lauren, I don't know why they went with a different nomenclature. Maybe we've got an I Want That Too listener or viewer out there who can help us out with this.
Hey, to the guy who sent us the Smokey Bear, you know anything about this? We're dying to know. We'll give you our contact information at the end. All right, so now you're finally going to answer my question, Jim, right? Why did Fort Wilderness have so much Smokey the Bear merch?
Lauren, I hate to let you down here, but I don't know what to tell you. I mean, given that, the Fort Wilderness and Wilderness Lodge and the Meadow Trading Post, you know, all of those, aspects of Walt Disney World celebrate nature and outdoor recreation and conservation. Stocking Smokey Bear merch is kind of consistent with those resorts' overall themes, but I have to ask, when you were, in those shops, did you see anything you especially liked?
Well, let's start with the obvious. Right now, I am rocking a Smokey Bear shirt. So if you're listening as a podcast, head over and you can see my shirt on YouTube. But the funny thing is, I actually got this for my husband, who is quite the t-shirt connoisseur. He is all about the softness, you know, like the more polyester versus cotton, the better. That's like the real secret when you're buying a good shirt. You know, the saying, what's yours is mine. And what's mine is mine. Yeah, that's kind of what happened here. And, you know, in addition to this fun shirt, they had quite a few shirts. The one that caught my eye, if I didn't get this one, was a yellow unisex t-shirt with the famous tagline on it that Jim and I both butchered earlier. And oh my gosh, those little Smokies, they're like, I was calling them little Smokies. They're little Smokey Bear plushies. They were absolutely adorable. But as I was going back through my like photos and videos of my time in the shops at Fort Wilderness, you know, what really stood out to me is that how many unique items they had that I've never seen anywhere else. And I mean, like, come on, you know, if there is a Disney gift shop near me, like I'm going in. So I'm like a Disney gift shop connoisseur. But anyway, so there were things like, of course, they had a lot of camping gear. They had this really cool, like Fort Wilderness tire cover, like you would use on the back of a Jeep. They had foldable lawn chairs. I mean, you name it. Like looking back at their merch, they really did have some fun and really unique items. And I have to say, if you love, you know, Smokey Bear, go there. But if you also love Chip and Dale, I mean, like they went all in on Chip and Dale, which shouldn't really be a shocker to anybody. And I think I mentioned it earlier. So if you're looking for Smokey Bear, you can find him at the Settlement Trading Post, the Meadow Trading Post at Fort Wilderness. Then over at Wilderness Lodge, you can go to the Mercantile, like Jim said. And I had mentioned California Adventure. And the Smokey Bear merch is at Humphrey's Service and Supply. So
Humphrey's.
Humphrey's.
There's a Humphrey store.
How about that? That is wild. And here's the weird thing, though, Jim, is all the Googling I did, you can't buy these things online. You actually have to go directly to the source.
Yeah. And I find that genuinely intriguing, especially in our age of, you know, brick and mortar being challenged. But,
There's always eBay or, you know, there were lots of Smokey Bear. But if you wanted one from Disney, you got to go to the source. Well, I think we have sufficiently done our duty in talking about Humphrey and Smokey Bear. Thank you for that. So I think it's about time to close up shop. What do you say?
I think, you know, it's been a fairly grisly show, but they bared up under it, and I'm running out of bear jokes here. Okay.
All right, Jim. So tell me before we wrap up here, what else is going on at the Jim Hill Media Network? You're cranking out stuff left and right. What are you working on?
Yeah, well, I mean, for example, just yesterday, your husband and I did a brand new Epic Universe podcast where we took a close look at the King Kong Encounter attraction at the Universal Studios Hollywood. Mr. Testa and I have a brand new Disney dish that we did where Len talks about his visit to 1900 Park Fair, which just reopened with a brand new character dining experience. I will later this week be recording a brand new fine-tuning review trailer. Likewise, a brand new Looking at Lucasfilm with Brian Gaughan. And also, of course, we have the Disney Unpacked series. We are continuing our look this month at the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin attractions, the various versions of this ride-through shooter that are around the planet. And of course, we also have the show you're listening to right now. I Want That Too, which I do with the lovely Lauren. And can you talk about what we're going to try to do for our next show?
All right. So we talked about Buzz Lightyear. So we're talking about spacemen. And so we're going to keep with the theme of space. So I know that we're going to be right up against Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And boy, did they have some fun merch out for that. We can't wait to talk about. And Jim, do you want to tease a little bit your almost completed collection we're going to be talking about?
Well, once again, we reveal how truly weird I am. I'm not just as obsessed with Humphrey the Bear. I'm also a longtime Muppet fan. And one of the things I am just about to complete is my collection of Muppets in Space jelly jars.
Once again, you're butchering the name, isn't it? Muppets from Space?
Well, now, this time around, finally, I'm not wrong. And on our next installment of I Want That Too, we're not only going to talk about that movie the Muppets almost made in the late 1990s, which is Muppets in Space, not Muppets from Space. We're also going to discuss how this set of characters, their complicated history with the Walt Disney Company. So.
All right. I'm intrigued. I don't even know what a jelly jar is. So I am here for it. But before we close up shop, I just want to remind everybody, if you're listening to this on the podcast form, we are over on YouTube as well, under Jim Hill Media. So please head over there, you know, go ahead and subscribe so you get those notifications. And, you know, if you like what you're hearing, like what you're seeing, give us a thumbs up. And we want to hear from you, definitely. So you can find me at Lauren at laurenhersey.com or Jim at jim@jimhillmedia.com.
And I guess that's going to do it, folks. So for Lauren Hersey, I am Jim Hill, and we want to thank you for listening and perhaps watching. I Want That Too. See you again soon.